What a great Lord. Are you thankful to belong to Jesus this morning?
Amen.
I am too. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. And let's turn to the book of Joshua. If you've been reading the daily Bible reading with us, you'll know we've been in the book of Joshua lately. And we're going to go to Joshua for some time in the Word of God this morning. Now, I'm going to have you keep your finger there, because actually I'll be coming to that after a little while. But Joshua chapter 24 is where we're going to find our primary text this morning. But I'm going to spend some time rehearsing some other things that I think are important to us and good for us to remember. If you looked on the calendar today, how many of you saw what your calendar said? What was it? Yes, I don't know.
November.
No, not November. The 20th, okay. The first day of Passover. First day of Passover, according to the calendar. And what I want to do this morning is I'm going to draw your attention to a biblical event that happened thousands of years ago, and it began to unfold and take place right around Passover. And that event is Joshua's leading the people into the Promised Land. They went across the dry riverbed of Jordan, and within 4 days, within 4 days of the Passover, and we'll talk some about that, but especially what I want to talk about is Joshua's final conclusion with the people. We've been reading in Joshua in our Bible reading, those who've been reading through the Bible in a year, and you know that Joshua basically carries on the leadership of the nation after Moses is taken to God. Joshua leads Israel into their home given them by God. Folks, make no mistake, I'm going to rehearse with you some things this morning. The Bible clearly says God gave Israel the land of their inheritance, and it is His covenant forever. And all the church said, I've said over the years how many times I've said to you to keep an eye on Jesus and keep an eye on Israel. We are in a day of rapidly fulfilling Scripture. And what I want to do before we go to Joshua 24 is I want to rehearse with you some of the Scriptures that talk about Israel and God's covenant with Israel. We talk about it, but I want you to see it in the Scripture, and I'm going to go quickly. Now, I've got most of these are from the New King James Bible, and they're going to be on the overhead this morning. But I want you to take a look at some things. Number one, Israel belongs to God. The land is theirs. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. Genesis 15, verse 18. Read it out loud with me, please. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now let me ask you a question. Who's the creator? Come on, let me hear you this morning. Who's the creator?
God.
How many creators are there?
One.
He created the world, the planets, the universe. He created it all, right? So that means if He's the creator, He's the owner. Isn't that correct? And so the owner can deed to anyone he wants any property he wants. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I deal with real estate day in, day out. Deal with deeds and title deeds day in, day out. This is not a retractable deed, as you're going to see. This is not a deed that revokes. It's not a lifetime deed where the life of the person, they own the property until they pass away, and then it reverts to the original owner. God owns the land at all times, but folks, we need to understand God is the owner, and He deeded it to Israel. Now just take a look at some of the Scriptures, lest you wonder. Genesis chapter 17, verses 2 through 8. To Abraham he's speaking, and God changes his name in verses 2 through 5, or 2 through 6. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham. In verse 7, we'll pick it up. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for a what?
Everlasting.
I'm sorry, what was that word?
Everlasting
what? Interesting. Not just a suggestion. Not just a small thing. But a covenant. Our God is a covenant God. And He makes covenants with us. And church, you need to understand these are deeply serious to the heart of God. Now, because in America we have thrown over the Word of God, we don't understand the Bible as our final authority anymore in a lot of places. And so that's why there's this shifting sand of mores and values and morals and everything. It's just a shifting sand. But God, as we already heard this morning from both Pastor Carl and Sherry, God is true. Say amen with me. God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says. What does that mean? God is true to His Word for all generations. God places His Word above His name. Every jot and tittle, everything God says will come to pass. Who can say amen?
Amen.
If you're looking for something reliable, put your trust in Jesus Christ and in the Bible. Put your trust in Him. An everlasting covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you. Verse 8. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the what?
Land.
I'm sorry, what was that he gave?
The land.
The land in which you are a stranger. All the land of? As a what kind of possession, church?
Everlasting
possession. I will be their God. Now, do you think God's making a suggestion here? Or is this an expression of covenant? Now, how many can say with me that it's better in life to be in agreement with God? Anybody in this room ever had any conflict with God? Come on, can you raise your hand? Okay, I'll raise all mine for you. All right? How many understand that when you're in conflict with God, there's only one winner? And it ain't you. God is the only one. Now, He's loving, He's compassionate, He's good, He's kind, He's forgiving, He's all those things. And He tells us that from His Word. And, you know, God doesn't want to flip you over His back and pin you. He wants to put His arm around you and walk with you. But He's in charge. He's in charge. And so if I have conflict with God, guess what? I only find peace when I finally say, Jesus, I surrender. Come on, say that phrase with me, would you? Jesus, I surrender. Hard to say that when you're at odds with God, isn't it? But the only time peace restores to your soul is when you say, I surrender. Come on, can you say with me that sometimes life doesn't make sense? Come on, church. Come on, let's be honest. How many? Come on, let me see the show of hands. How many have life all figured out? Tricked you, didn't I? They went down quick. Okay, come on, let me see the show of hands. How many know what God wants you to do from here to the rest of your days? That's it. You just know. How many? Let me see the show of hands. Where it ends. How come you're sitting on your hands? How many believe, though? And listen, I'm not saying this shallowly because, remember, some of you don't know me, but I know some of what I'm talking about on this. Even though it's tough, God's still good. Even though it's dark and you don't get it, God's still got you. Even though you don't know which way you're going sometimes, God knows. And He still loves you. Yeah, right, sure. Nice preacher talk. You don't have any idea what you're talking about. Well, I've been through a problem or two in my life. Just take my word for it. Still there. But He's still God. Church, we made this covenant with Him. Do you think God ran out when the going got tough? Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Come on. Doesn't it feel like that? Where'd you go? Remember the old footprints in the sand? That makes a nice wall plaque, makes a good gift for somebody, but come on, it doesn't feel good. But He still picks us up and walks with us. Watch this, though. Everlasting possession. I'll be their God. Okay, church, we need to be in agreement with God. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, speaking to Israel, and I will what?
Curse him
who, what? in you all the families of the earth shall be what?
Blessed.
Okay. Another show of hands. I know I'm asking for participation. How many want to be blessed by God? Then the Bible says, be in a position of blessing Israel, not in the position of cursing Israel. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Watch this. For thus says the Lord of hosts, He sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. Now say this next phrase out loud. It's crucial. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Because we've thrown over the Bible, we develop policies in our countries based on expediency, based on humanism, that don't recognize the Word of God. And God says He blesses those who bless His people. Tiny little Israel has been restored and endured the test of time. Has there been trouble? You better believe it. Has there been devastation? Absolutely. But church, blessing upon blessing. How many understand the entire earth and every nation on earth is blessed because of the Jewish people? Listen, folks, we got to understand. You take a look at Nobel Prize winners over the ages. The vast majority, especially from this one little country, proportionally, Israel has the vast majority and higher percentage from their little country. Science, medicine, art, technology, inventions. Do you think God has blessed these people? Yes, He has. The nation was literally reborn in one day. One day. Just as the Bible said it would happen. Isaiah 66, verses 7 through 8. I really want you to see this. Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 8. Read this out loud with me, please. Before going into labor, she gave birth. Before her pains came, she delivered a male child. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Is a country born in one day? Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Sion went into labor, she brought forth her children. It was May 14th, 2 weeks from today or so, 3 weeks, we'll celebrate the 60th anniversary. May 14th, 1948, the Jews declared independence for Israel as a united and sovereign nation for the first time in 2,900 years. And we will soon celebrate their 60th anniversary since that date. Now, that same day, the United States issued a statement recognizing Israel's sovereignty. Only hours before this all occurred, a United Nations mandate expired, literally ending British control of the land. Literally, during a 24-hour span of time, foreign control of the land of Israel had formally ceased. Israel had declared its independence, and its independence was acknowledged by other nations. Modern Israel, church, was literally born in a single day. Now, the Bible says the birth would take place before there would be labor pains. And that's exactly what happened. In the 1800s, a movement called Zionism began, which encouraged Jews worldwide to move to Israel. At that time, it's referred to or was called Palestine, which you know. Literally within hours of their independence in 1948, Israel was attacked by the surrounding countries of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. Keep in mind, the Bible says Israel's status as a nation sovereignly was established and reaffirmed in the course of a single day, but its declaration of independence was not the result of a war, but rather the cause of one. Do you understand? The labor pains didn't come first and then the birth. The birth came and then the labor pains. Now, understand what the Scripture says. Has God forsaken Israel? We oftentimes develop a replacement theology in the Christian church. How many believe God's people saved by grace are His people? Without question, church. How many believe the Jews need Jesus Christ as their living Messiah to be saved by the grace of Jesus? Without question. But God has not forsaken this land and these people. Psalm 89, 30 through 37. If His sons forsake My law and do not walk in My judgments. Verse 31. If they break My statutes and do not keep My commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod. Has that happened? You better believe it. And their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, My loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow My faithfulness to what? My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of My lips. Once I have sworn by My holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne is the sun before Me. It will be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. Church, the Bible tells us now that we are those who should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Church, how many want to be on the side of God? Let's bless Israel and not curse Israel. Now, why have I even taken 10 minutes to go into this? Because as God dealt with this precious nation in His eyes, shows us how God deals and ministers to us as His people saved by grace. Now, I want to say something very simple. If you belong to God, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are His. Now, isn't that profound? I had to come to church to hear you say that. How many in this room know that if you gave your life to Jesus, you belong to Jesus? How many really know what that means? How many knew what you were really getting into when you got saved? How many might have thought twice? No. But the problem is, as churchianity has evolved, as religion has evolved, has come down the ages, even in the last 30 years, we have seen a waning of an understanding of covenant. And the understanding of commitment and the understanding of surrender. Those are not words we like in America, church. Let's just face it. We don't like these words. The church divorce rate is higher now than the world's divorce rate. Evangelical kids, the latest statistic are, they're having sex more often before marriage than people in the world. They only feel guilty about it. There's something wrong. We don't understand what commitment means. Now, is God good? Yes. Is He loving? Is He kind? Is He forgiving? Yes, He is. But we need to understand, what does the Bible say? You made covenant with God. And church, when we do that, He owns us lock, stock, and barrel. Exodus 34, verse 14 tells us that God is jealous. Now, there's jealousy that can be taken to extreme. But there's jealousy that's a safety valve, right? I remember when my wife was here, every now and then, I would hear something from her. If I liked someone too much on television, I would get a look, like. Now, those of you who didn't know Gailey was quiet, but she was strong. And so when I'd get that look, guess what I'd do? I'd fall down on the ground before her and repent. It was a safety valve. Okay, so God says He is a loving God, but He is also a jealous God. And He's jealous that we not give our heart to someone else. Now, if we wander, thank God He loves us enough to correct us and to turn us around. That's called grace. That's called mercy. God doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. So He gives us grace and opportunity to turn around. When and if God ever puts an obstacle in your way, it's because He loves you. It might not always be because you went your own way. Sometimes it might simply be a test to see if you'll turn to Him in the midst of the stumbling stone. But it could be God's dealing with you to turn you around. And if you will surrender to Him, fall on the rock. Pastor Ward quoted the scripture last week. Fall on the rock and break, or let the rock fall on you and be crushed to powder. Which one do you choose? I'll come down. I'll fall on the rock. And look for His mercy and dependence and His help. He'll carry us on eagle's wings if we let Him. Pastor Sherry, if you talked to her this morning, she watched an eagle sit right outside her window on the way to the Puget Sound just the other day. Yesterday was it? Sat there for an hour, right? Absolutely a glorious thing. And God will carry you, he says, on eagle's wings. All right, let's take a look at a few points. Joshua chose God. I want to talk about Joshua, then I want to talk about where they went, and then I'm going to take you to the section of Scripture that's in your that's out your hands now this morning, Joshua 24. Now, Joshua, the name means Yahweh is deliverer. Yahweh is salvation. Or Yahweh is gracious. In the Greek, the name Joshua is Jesus. It's what? It's Jesus. He's the second leader of Israel, and Joshua, like Jesus, leads us into our promised land, the land of the provision. Joshua led Israel in, Jesus leads us in. And again, this is the first calendar day of Passover. It was 4 days after crossing over the Jordan by Israel, thousands of years ago, that Joshua led the men of the Israel camp into circumcision. And they began to receive their promised provision. Now you remember who Joshua is. Joshua had been Moses' faithful assistant. He was loyal and he was faithful and he believed God. He was one of the 12 spies, remember? He was one of the 12 spies, and all 12, by the way, returned to Israel after they looked at the new land, and they saw the provision. All 12 saw the what? They saw the provision. Only two saw the power of God to get the provision. All 12 saw the what? Only two saw the power. I want you to know there's something we need to remember as a congregation. And I pray we always remember. Church, we are a community of faith. Turn to each other. Say, we're a community of faith. We need to not only see the provision, we need to understand and believe God for the power. Amen? We need to understand God for the power of what He releases. We need to walk in faith and belief in God that He can do exactly what He says He can do. Somebody say amen. Amen. He lingered behind, Joshua did. He prayed in the tabernacle after Moses would depart. He serves Moses. He learns how to lead. He demonstrates his faithfulness to God. Joshua was a man of prayer, loyalty, faithfulness. By the way, Joshua was literally a superb military leader. And while Moses was still alive, he led early battles and he helped turn Israel into a very leading army. He was a brilliant military strategist. Do you realize that even now today in Israel, the campaigns of Joshua in the Bible are required reading and study? Do you know General Patton used to turn to the Bible to find battle plans? Joshua and how he conducted the campaigns. Conquer and divide and split the nation right in the middle and then conquer the south and then conquer the north. The campaigns that he did go before and go behind. All of those campaigns are required military strategy understanding for those who are in the military. Now, we're going to go to Joshua 24. And we're at the end of Joshua's life. He's 110 years old. Anybody feeling old this morning? You're just a kid. You're just a kid. He's 110. And Joshua has fought, he has led, he has served, he's guided Israel into their land. He's helped bring the people to the fulfillment of God's plan. And now Joshua has one more mission. Joshua can get God's people into their land. But can he get God into their hearts? And that's what we're going to look at in these scriptures. He gathers the people to Shechem. Say Shechem. You know, jive and Shechem. Shechem. He reminds them of what God has done. He reminds them that they didn't provide this for themselves. We didn't save ourselves. How many know Jesus made the provision of grace? Are you saved by grace? Not of works, lest any man should boast? What do we do? We cooperate with Him. We receive Him. We receive Him and move with Him and do what He's calling us to do. And He brings them to Shechem. Now Shechem, if you'd like to put this up there, Pat, please. Shechem, you see it there? My friend gave me a pointer and I didn't bring the electronic one. I brought the old-fashioned one. Sorry. Thank you. Here we are in Shechem. Okay? Middle part of the nation. A few miles northwest of Shiloh. But it was in Shechem. Listen to what happened in Shechem. Abraham first received the promise in Shechem that God would give his seed the land of Canaan. Abraham responded and he built an altar there in Shechem to demonstrate his faith in God. Jacob stopped in Shechem on his return from Padan Aram and he buried there the idols that his family had brought with him. After the Israelites completed their first phase of the conquest of Canaan, they went to Shechem. And Joshua built an altar there to God. And he inscribed on the stones the law of God on stone pillars. And he reviewed them for all the people. And certainly now at the end of his days, the stones are still there. The law and the covenant still standing. Vivid reminders of this fantastic event that God had done. From now on, after this event we're going to go to here in a moment, this beautiful valley between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim would be associated with this powerful farewell scene from Joshua as he literally spoke to the nation for the last time. Joshua chapter 24. Let's go to verses 11 through 24, but I'm only going to read some of those verses. You then crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. He's been rehearsing what they had done and how God had met them. The Jericho, now I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. It's vivid this morning. The Jericho leaders ganged up on you as well as the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I turned them over to you, God says to these people through Joshua. Verse 12. I sent the hornet ahead of you. It drove out the two Amorite kings, did your work for you. You didn't have to do a thing. Not so much as raise a finger. I handed you a land for which you did no work, towns you did not build. And here you are now living in them, eating from vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. So now fear God. Worship Him in total commitment. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshipped on the far side of the river, the Euphrates, and in Egypt. You worship God. What are some life lessons from Shechem? Number one, God is your provider and your deliverer. He's your defender. How many can say God's my provider? He's my defender. As you cooperate with Him, He literally conquers the enemies. Now, I'm not going to go into them all. I'm just going to give you one of them. But the Amorites, the name Amorites leads to a definition of bitterness, rebellion, a babbler. The otherites all have different meanings to their names. Pride, fear, trodden underfoot. There are all sorts of perspectives that need to be conquered as we grow in Jesus Christ and as we come to inherit the land of provision that God has given us. As we inherit this walk He gives to us, we need to overcome some things in our life. Anybody say amen? Amen. So all themites, Jesus helps us conquer. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. We've got a fantastic inheritance from God. Fantastic provision, joy and peace and life and forgiveness and mercy. But we've got to accept it. We've got to cooperate with it. Step by step. That's called Christian growth and maturity. You know, did you ever have a great gift from your folks when you were kids? What's some of the great gifts your folks gave them? Anybody? Bicycle, okay? A bicycle? Who else? A sled, okay? A dollhouse. Very good. Who else? Anybody else? A record player. My kind of family. Who else? All right. What was it? A car. What kind of car?
A VW, actually.
A VW. A bug. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else giving anything from your folks? Yeah, Sue. Oh, okay, Dottie. A lot of love. Yeah, Sue. You two were in harmony back there. Very good. Okay. Who else? Yeah, Teresa.
Paper dolls.
Okay. All right. All right. Who else? Folks ever give you anything?
Dinner?
Yeah. Andy. I see that elbow. A laptop. Wow. That's a happening family. Yeah. You got skis. What kind of skis? Weren't they? I thought you always talked about head skis. I thought so.
They weren't head skis,
but they were skis. They were skis. Yes, yes, Katie.
A Christian foundation.
Okay, a Christian foundation. Beautiful. All right. But fantastic. Yes. Yes, roller skates. Your folks taught you how to skate through life. Very good. Listen, what good would these gifts have done you if you had said, thank you, Mom and Dad, set them on the shelf, and walked away? You would have bragging rights. You could go to your neighbors and say, my folks gave me a great gift. I got a laptop. I got roller skates. I got paper dolls. I got skis. I got a bug. I got whatever else. But it wouldn't have done you any good unless you had cooperated with the receiving of the gift, right? You can tell people all day long you've got a gift, but if you don't really receive Him, if you don't really cooperate with Him, if you're not walking in that commitment, what good does it really do you? He gives you fantastic victory over the devil and over the enemies. We live by the grace of His provision. He did the work. No question. The work is done at the cross. But have you received it? In the fullness of that provision. So God's your provider, your defender. Number two, choose God. What do we learn? Life lessons from Shechem. Choose God. How many understand God created you a choosing being? Talk to Pastor Sherry. She's got three fantastic classes called Maturity in Relationships, Reaction or Response. They are superb classes. And one of the elements of understanding biblically is God made us different ways. And one of the ways He made us was as a choosing being. You have free will. Now, we have free will to give up our free will. Isn't that right? I'm not just trying to double talk, but that's what God wants us to do with it. But we have freedom to make choice. We were created like God. And God made the choice of Israel. God chose, and Jesus chose in the Garden of Gethsemane to do the will of God. Folks, sometimes life gets harder before it gets easier. You make your choice to follow Jesus, even if it's not easy to find or do His will. But we make choice. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. Let's look at verse 15. And if it seems evil to you, Joshua is now telling the people to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Say that phrase with me, please. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And now the last phrase. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, we quote that a lot. I want you to understand there is a root set of definitions in here about the word choose that I think are astounding and powerful. The word for choose is the Hebrew word bakar. Say bakar. And it means to try. To select. It means to choose, elect, or decide for. Now that's important. Of particular interest is the word decide. The Latin word incisio leads to our word incision. And that's an act of cutting open or cutting into. The Latin word decisio leads to the word decide or decision. It's based on the same root word. But rather than cutting into, church, this word means cutting off in the sense of diminishing a thing. And there's the rub. The choice Israel was asked to make was not only a choice for God, it was a choice that inherently demanded a cutting off of everything else that usurped the place and authority of God. Now that may not sound like much to you. That is where the rubber hits the road. Now does that mean you can have fun and play games and enjoy what you do? And of course. But who has your heart? Who has the supreme place of God in your life? You? Your games? The distractions? Or Jesus? Literally, Bakar means they were, Joshua was saying, church, nation, we are called by covenant to serve God to the exclusion, to the cutting off of all else that pretends to be God. Is there anything else in your life that ever takes the place of God? I'm not trying to be hard. Listen, this affects me. This affects all of us. But what does it really mean? Now, twice in this section of Scripture here, the people say to Joshua, we're going to serve the Lord. The Lord our God is our God. We're going to serve Him. And you read this conversation going back and forth from Joshua where he says, no, you're not. No, you won't. You can't. You won't. You're going to get judged. And he said, no, no, we're not going to get judged. We're going to walk with God. Come on. He goes, no, no, you're not. You're going to get judged because as soon as I'm gone, you're going to go your own way and God's going to judge you. What he's dealing with is not trying to be a cruel pastor. He's trying to help them rise up in their level of understanding. This commitment to God is numero uno. He owns my heart. He owns my life. He's provided all these good things. He's forgiven me. He's had mercy on me. He's loved me. Now, this covenant means everything with God. He's my number one. He's my number one. Now, you know, church, I know it's quiet because it's powerful. It's powerful for me too, but we take a look at, you know, in our life, we can choose to do good. You can go out and you can go to a restaurant. You can choose what sandwich you want. You can choose a meal. Now, that kind of choosing is you choose not to the exclusion of necessarily, you choose instead of one of the other also satisfactory offerings. But this kind of choosing says, I choose you, Lord, to the exclusion of anything else that can hold my heart. When we serve God the way Israel claimed they would serve God, there's no need for any other way, any other God, any other choice. Have you chosen God? He's chosen you. And that's what it means when it says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Basically, make it God and cut off all the rest. All right, what did he say in here? What did Joshua say? Fear him. The Hebrew word for fear him is yare, and it means to frighten. But this is not a slavish dread. It's a family-filled reverence for a dad. Serve him. The Hebrew word is abad, and it means to serve, like to enslave. I'm a bond slave, the Scripture talks about, to my God. How do you serve him? In sincerity and in truth. And that means basically without blemish, full of trust and trustworthiness. With your whole loving heart, sincere effort, not phony, but really loving him because he first loved you. With a genuine heart that steps up to the plate and says, thank you so much. You took care of all the enemies. You cut off everything that could destroy me. You took care of the devil. You took care of all of my sins. Now, Lord, I'm in covenant with you. I so much want to inherit the land and be the Christian, the man, the woman you want me to be. And then how do you actually prove that you've made him your choice? The way according to this section of Scripture is put away other gods. Make a choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people then say to Joshua, that's our heart. That's our commitment. And we read these verses, 25 through 28 of Joshua 24. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone, and he set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Church, as we get ready to close, Elaine, would you come, please? As we get ready to close in a few minutes, a little while, you're going to go home to your own inheritance, to your families and to your friends, to your life, to your work, to your play, whatever it is you're going to do. And we've taken this time to meet together with the Lord this morning because we belong to Him. We're His people in covenant relationship. You're saved not of your works, but by His grace. Are you glad?
Yes.
You're grateful for Jesus this morning. Man, I tell you, I'm so glad I don't have to carry sins on my back for the rest of my days. I'm so glad that He's got a vision and He's got a land for me to occupy, a maturity for me to live, a life for me to walk, healing and strength and life and mercy and growth. And He wants me to be like Him. He wants me to occupy this land. And oh yes, He loves me enough to be jealous over me. He loves me enough to say, "Kevin, remember, son, you gave me your heart to the exclusion of all others." I'm not trying to turn you into a bunch of monks this morning. But where's your heart? Lord, I've given it to you. My heart is in your hands. And with all my heart, I love being your son. I don't want to turn to the right or to the left. I want to be what you want me to be. Who can say amen to that? Let's stand, church. Be my own. Be my own. Be my own. My very own. And I will give you all the riches of my glory. All I ask is for you to be my own. Every head bowed, would you please? Are there those among us here this morning that need to make sure things are right with Jesus? Are there those among us who need forgiveness? Who need His peace? His help. Without opening your eyes, would you slip up your hands if that's you? Okay, you can put your hands down. Go ahead and put them down. Is there anyone here this morning? If you have not given your life to Jesus, I urge you to give your life to Him, fully surrender to Him. If you're His, thank God for an opportunity to remember what this covenant means and walk with a God who passionately loves you and has mercy for you. Receive Him in a fresh way. Now follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. Wash me clean by your blood. Forgive me for every sin in every place where I've turned away. Thank you, Jesus, that I belong to you, that you own me. Help me be what you want me to be. Help me do what you want me to do. Thank you for your promised land, life with you. Now, Lord, I pray your blessing upon these precious people who've gathered this day. Let there be healing, strength, life, joy, and even as they go forth from this place, let the joy of Jesus be their portion, knowing in a real way this Lord has held us tight in His grip. Thank you, Jesus, that you hold us. Bless these precious ones, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you need healing in your body and want to come up further for prayer afterwards, come on up. If there's something the Lord has put on your heart and you want to pray, come on up. It'll be a joy to pray with you. Other than that, be released and enjoy another snow day in Port Ludlow.